That blessed your hearts, amen. Well, have you ever had difficult times, distressing times? Have you ever had difficult struggles or challenges? I think for all of us, as we do have just lived life in this world, it reminds us that it's good to have peace. And I wonder if you have peace. I wonder if you need peace today. We are in a series entitled, A Name You Can Trust, Knowing God by His Names. We're learning about different ways and different times that God reveals Himself by different names. The theme verse that we have said each time we've gathered around this subject is Proverbs 18:10. Let's lift our voices again and say it together, shall we? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And what we're learning is that as God reveals Himself for who He is by His names, that when we go to Him and we claim Him for His name's sake and for who He is, then He becomes for us a place of security and protection. And today, we're learning that He can become for us our source of peace. We learn about God today by another name. His name is Jehovah Shalom. The God who is your source of peace. Jehovah is God's personal name. It's His promise-keeping name. Jehovah is the name that God uses to identify Himself in a personal relationship that He never changes. But then God takes another word and combines it together with who He is. And He is also Shalom, peace. He is the God that when you're in those difficult times and distressful times, when you are in times of struggle and you are times that things are very challenging in your life, He is the God that has to become or can become the source of peace for you. Well, let's meet a man who lived in difficult times, anything but peaceful times. And yet, it is to this man, Gideon, that God revealed Himself to Gideon and to us as Jehovah Shalom. Turn in your Bible to the book of Judges, chapter 6. Judges, chapter 6. And for the very first time in the period of Judges, we meet Gideon. And for the very first time, we meet God as Jehovah Shalom. You found Judges chapter 6 in your Bible. Would you read with me? I'll read aloud. Follow along as I read, beginning in verse 11, and I will read through verse 14. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said to him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" Now when you read this scripture, you've noticed, I'm sure, that Gideon just has these questions pouring out of his heart and out of his mouth as he speaks with God. He had some really important questions. He asked three very important questions that I find myself asking, and maybe you find yourself asking. The first question he asks in this passage of scripture is, "God, do you really care?" Then he asks another question, "God, do you know what you're doing?" And then there's a third question that he asks, "God, how can I follow you?" And the answer to all of these questions ultimately is who God is. Because in your Bible, look at the very end of this account, verse 24, the very last verse of it. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Jehovah Shalom, the God who's the source of peace. He has these three very important questions that he's asking, that we ask. And in the end, God says, I want you to know, with all that you need to know, I want you to know this, that ultimately the answer is me to be your source of peace. And you know, in life you can look all kinds of places for peace, but ultimately, if you really want to know peace, then you need to know Jehovah Shalom. Now let's pray and ask God to speak to us about himself, all right? Lord, you are Jehovah Shalom. We live in, oh my, this year, this calendar year has been a doozy, Lord. And there's yet much to happen in it. And it is good for us to remember that you are Jehovah, the unchanging God who is the source of peace. And today, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us as you have in your word, but then that you would take the word and you, by your spirit, as you interact with us in a personal way, would help the people of this congregation to experience and come to you as the source of our peace. So it's good for us to realize how much we need you, and it is in faith, in dependence on the Holy Spirit, that we ask for you to have your will as we open the Bible, as I preach, and we all hear from you today. So we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's talk about those three questions that Gideon asked, that you ask and I ask as well. God, do you really care? When this angel appeared to the Lord and said to Gideon in verse 12, "The Lord is with thee." Oh, that brought up a subject that his heart just was outpouring in his heart. And it's like he had all these questions bottled up. And once the question of whether the Lord was with him or not came up, he just pours out his questions in verse 13. You read, follow along as I read. And Gideon said, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." You see, he questioned like I do, like you do. Does God really care? And so the answer to the question is, you know God cares when your circumstances cause you to cry out to God. You know God cares when your circumstances cause you to cry out to God. And when you read this portion, I want you to notice the condition of the nation. We read at the end of of chapter 5, the very last phrase of chapter 5, that the land had rest for 40 years. 40 years the people lived in peace. But then everything changes in chapter 6, verse 1. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, they came up against them and encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey." Do you see what's happening? the people sow their seed and their fields in the spring. And then when it's harvest time, this alliance led by the Midianites, would be in the southeast of the land of Israel. The Amalekites, they would be southwest of the land of Israel. And then these children of the east, these would be nomadic people that were from the Arabian desert. And Midian brings them together in an alliance. And just when it's time to harvest, just when it's time for the crops to come that are going to feed them for the rest of their year and sustain their economy, just when that happens, these three nations attack. And we read about their attacks in verse 5. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came up as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. They had invented a brand new weapon system, the camel. But a camel is really a tremendous weapon if you think of it that way. A camel can go for 3 or 4 days, 300 miles without food or water. A camel has the strength to carry great provision and take away great provision. And they took the camel and turned it into a weapon. When there's a need in close combat, a camel has speed and mobility. And it's described for us like this multitude is like grasshoppers. And imagine the people of Israel, whenever they come, and these Midianites and Amalekites and these people from the Arabian desert now come, and they just descend upon the people of Israel, and they're powerless against this enemy. And because they're empowered, they're powerless against the enemy. And the enemy, the first year and the second year and the third year, up to 7 years, this enemy comes. Because they're powerless, then they're impoverished. So you look in your Bible at verse 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And with such conditions in their nation, God tells us of the cry of the nation. Keep reading in verse 6. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now Gideon asks, does God really care? God, if you cared, you would not let this happen to us. But really, God did care. In fact, he cared enough. He loved them enough that he put them in a situation where they would finally be broken and cry unto the Lord. Now, we think whenever bad things happen and we're in those difficult situations, we think, God, you don't really care. But God says, no, I care enough for you. I'm willing to bring you into the hard times so that you'll seek me. You see, God understands that a life that is lived well is not a life lived apart from him, but a life lived in dependence on him. And anytime God brings you to a place where you are dependent on him, even if it's difficult, it is God saying to you, I care enough for you that I'll do the hard thing for you for what's best for you. Does God really care? Yes. We aren't out of his care. In reality, in those times, God is proving that he cares for us. But does God really care? There's another reason that God tells us why you know that God really cares. You know God really cares when he speaks the truth in the midst of your circumstances. And so it is that while all of this is taking place, God did not leave his people without the truth. In fact, would you notice with me verse 7? It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drove them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. This was a true prophet that took them back to the history and said, let me show you what God did in the past. And this is why you are. He not only was a true prophet that told the truth, he told them the true problem. Now listen to me. You know God really cares when he puts people in your life that are going to tell you the truth. How many of you know there are a lot of people who will tell you what you want to hear rather than what you need to hear sometimes? A true prophet telling their true problem. Because Gideon thought, well, the problem is with God. In reality, God was being faithful. And God sent a warning before he ever got to Gideon. What he was going to do was going to be wonderful. But God sent a warning to his people and said, listen, here is the problem. Do you really care, God? Yeah, God cares because he speaks the truth in the midst of your circumstances. So we read again in verse 10 of chapter 6 that God says, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Now, in the Bible, there are two kinds of fear. There is afraid fear, things that do, we're afraid. But there's another kind of fear in the Bible that is reverential fear. And in this passage, God says, now listen, don't fear the gods of the Amorites. And you ask yourself, well, which kind of fear is it? Is that afraid fear? I'm afraid of their gods? Or is it reverential fear that I am worshiping them? This is reverential fear. Rather than fear the one true God and worship him in spite of all the goodnesses and power that he displayed to them, they chose to bow themselves down to the false gods, idols. Now, God warned them about it. He warned them about it in Exodus chapter 23. You don't need to turn there, but in my Bible, I'll turn there. Exodus chapter 23, and God warned them as Moses was challenging his people and looking to the future, and God warned them, Exodus 23, verse 23, when God says, my angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the land of the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods nor serve them to do after their works. Joshua comes to the end of his leadership, and oh, how God had wonderfully brought the people into the land that he'd promised them. They had seen the power of God give them victory in battle after battle after battle. There were still battles to be fought, victories to be claimed, but Joshua challenges his people when he comes to the end of his life. Joshua chapter 23, listen to the words that Joshua warned and gave to the people. Joshua 23, verse 6. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand nor to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you. Make neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. In the next chapter, chapter 24, verse 20, and then verse 21, Joshua continues, if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. God warned them. This is what's going to happen. Don't turn away from me. Don't turn away from me. Now, let me ask you this question. This is a question that is so significant that it's worth our consideration. Who or what do you fear? Worship. Invest your life in. serve, sacrifice for. Does God really care? God cares enough to tell you the truth. And it may be that God today is telling you the truth about the idols that you serve. You probably don't have a God shelf set up in your home. You probably don't have a statue. But it is very possible that you have an idol that you worship and you fear this and love and reverence this more than the one true God, and God is calling you back. He loves you so much. He cares so much. He's drawing you back to himself, even today. So God had sent problems. He sent a prophet. And after 7 years, he's going to send Gideon. But Gideon wasn't yet ready because God had some things in Gideon's life that he needed to correct to get Gideon ready to do what God had for him. And it brings us to another answer to the question, does God really care? And the answer is God really does care. And you know God really cares when he corrects you. Correction? Me? You. And in fact, when you read this portion, you'll realize that sometimes God has to correct your view of yourself. When Gideon, or the Lord approaches Gideon now, we're in Judges chapter 6, look if you would in verse 11, there came an angel of the Lord, a messenger from God there that sat under an oak which was at Ophrah and pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. A mighty man of valor? Did Gideon view himself as a mighty man of valor? Normally, you would thresh wheat at a threshing floor. A threshing floor in a community would be a place that land would be elevated, it would be smoothed out, would be packed very firm. It would be about 30 to 50 feet in diameter, flat. It's elevated because when the wheat is crushed and then the stalks and all are thrown up into the air and the wind blows away the chaff and the husks and the wheat that is heavier falls to the floor and it can be gathered. But you want that elevated because you want the winds to come from all the sides around and blow it away. But when you're on the top of this, everybody can see you. Now remember, it's harvest time. Midianites could come at any minute. And so what is this mighty man of valor doing? Well, he's hiding behind a tree and a wine press where they press the grapes because he was afraid of the Midianites, and he's hiding. And when God meets with him, he says, God is with thee, you mighty man of valor. You see, he saw himself as defeated and a victim, but God didn't see him that way. God saw him as a victor. God saw him not as the man that he was, but God saw him as the man that he could become if he would let God have his life. He saw himself for the first time the way God saw him. Do you realize as long as you think of yourself as a victim rather than a victor that God could make you, you're always going to miss it. God cared enough to say, I'm going to tell you the truth about it. This is what I could do in your life. When you put yourself in Christ, who am I in Christ? I'm accepted in the blood. I'm predestinated by him for something that matters in a life that matters in time and in eternity for his glory. I am redeemed and I am accepted. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. All in Christ. In Christ, He is sufficient because of who God is. It's not who I am, but it's what God could make me. And sometimes God has to change your view of yourself. Would you get over yourself and stop living in defeat rather than claiming a victory that God can do in your life? So sometimes God has to change your view of yourself. And sometimes God has to correct your view of Himself. The Lord is with thee, He says. Well, if He were with us, why is it, verse 13, that we have these Midianites? And why is it that that in the past He used to do this and He used to do that and He did this and that? We've heard all about it. Why is it we're in the situation we're in? You see, in Gideon's view, to him, God had forsaken them. God was not working. He looked back and he looked around and he was, boy, there's no hope. But God had to reveal Himself because He said, listen, you've missed it. I am working. In fact, you're going to be part of what I'm going to do, but don't you ever think that I'm not working. He had a wrong view of God. Maybe God is addressing your view of Him. And sometimes He has to correct our view of Him. Do you have to have your view of God corrected? And then sometimes God corrects your view of your problems. So Gideon comes to this conclusion. Look in your Bible, verse 13. He comes to this conclusion at the very end of verse 13. Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, do you see what Gideon was doing? He is playing the blame game. You see what God did to us? In reality, God did not do this to them. In reality, they made a choice, and God was doing this in mercy. The chapter begins by setting it all up for us that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. You see, they turned away from God. They are now receiving the consequences of their own sin. And now Gideon has to have his thinking changed because he was blaming God rather than accepting responsibility. Have you found yourself sometimes playing the blame game? Oh. You see, God was going to do mighty things. He was going to do mighty things in Gideon's life, in the land of their nation. But he had to correct some things in Gideon's life first. And you know, God has things that are wonderful things, mighty things He wants to do in your life. But there probably are some things in your life that He has to correct first. Does God really care? Yes, God cares. Even when the circumstances are hard, when He tells the truth, even when He corrects me, absolutely He cares. Well, God was not through. In reality, God was just getting started. Would you look at your Bible again? Look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now you'll notice that this angel of the Lord now reveals who he really is. It is the Lord speaking in verse 14. And he said unto him, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. This is an Old Testament appearance of God, where God meets with Gideon. And when God speaks to Gideon and calls him, It reminds us, do you know what you're doing? And that's the second question. God, do you know what you're doing?
Boy, I've asked God that question more than I care to admit, except that I just might as well come clean. I've asked God that question, oh, who knows how many times except God.
You know that we ask that question when God calls you to do His will. And that's what happened with Gideon. God said, okay, Gideon, here's what I want to do. I'm going to send you, and it'll be just like you're having hand-to-hand combat with one man. One, all those Midianites, it's just like just you and one man. You can beat one man. You can beat a host of them. And whenever he's confronted, this is what God has called, and this is what God wants for me in my life at this time. You know what he does? He begins to make excuses. How many of you found yourself making excuses at times when God speaks? Begins to make excuses. In fact, you'll see the excuse in verse 14 or 15 after God had called him. He says, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. You know, in reality, his family was well-to-do. In fact, later in this chapter, he had a task he needed to do, and he pulls out 10 of his family's servants. They weren't poor. The least in Manasseh. He begins to just have the poor me attitude. Woo-hoo, poor me. Now, he had some difficult circumstances. There's no question about it. His real issue is, well, do you know where I came from? Do you know where I came from? His family, we read later in this chapter, were worshipers of Baal. They were not faithful. He didn't come from a faithful family. In fact, he came from a family of compromisers who had forsaken the Lord. And Lord, poor me, poor me. And this is the overcoming promise that God gives whenever you and I begin to make excuses. Look in your Bible, verse 16. The Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. The overcoming promise that God makes is that I am with thee. Whatever it is I've called for you, do not make any excuses because I am there with you. So when Jesus gives his great commission, he sends us to the ends of the earth, disciples following the Lord and making the Lord known. He says this, lo, I am with you all. Even to the end of the world. Do you know what you're doing? Well, Lord, I don't know if you really know what you're doing, but if you want me to do it, here's the only thing I can say is, Lord, I need your help. And if you're with me, you're enough. Well, there's another issue that God addresses here. Sometimes we ask God if he really knows what he's doing whenever he calls us to do his will. And then sometimes we say, God, do you know what you're doing when I question your will? Because I want to know. Have you ever known times when God is so clearly speaking to you about, I mean, it is so clear. God has arranged it. There is no question. This is what God wants. But you just want to make sure. Okay, Lord, I'll do it, but I just want to make sure. I don't want to miss it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I just want to make sure this is what you want. Well, that's exactly what happens with Gideon. Would you notice what happens? Oh, turn in your Bible, look in your Bible, keep reading in verse 17. And he said unto him,
That is Gideon to this messenger. If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. I just want you to show. Lord, I want to make sure. Would you just show me a sign? I just want to know for sure. Now, some will fault Gideon for this. And it is enough when God says it, that's enough. But while I guess I could fault him, I have a hard time faulting him because I found myself so often in the same situation. Because I just want to make sure, Lord, is this really what you want? And so the conversation goes on. Gideon says, depart not here, or hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, that is a goat, and unleavened cakes, an ephah of flour, and the flesh he put in a basket. He put the broth in a pot and brought it out to him under the oak and presented it. Now you think this is quite a meal. Remember, you're dealing with times that are very difficult financially. They're taking the grain, they're taking the livestock, and Gideon takes an entire goat and prepares. How many of you have eaten goat? I'm curious. How many of you have eaten? Boy, a number of you have eaten goat. I'm not really interested in trying goat, really. I'm not. But boy, he makes an entire goat. And then he makes a bread, unleavened bread, with an ephah of flour. Gary Enrig, in his book on the book of Judges, says that an ephah of flour would make about, and get this for you bread lovers, this is a big thing for you, 35 pounds of bread. That is a lot of bread. And so he makes a bit of soup, and so he prepares this goat and brings out the meat in a basket, and he's got all this delicious bread. He brings out his, and the angel of the Lord is sitting there, and there's evidently a sizable rock. And he says, go ahead and put it on there. In fact, well, let me read it to you. And the angel of God, verse 20, said unto him, take the flesh, the meat, and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand, and he touched the flesh in his hand, or touched the flesh in the unleavened cakes, and there arose fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed from his sight. Now, can you picture this? If we were making it a movie today, what would it look like in your mind? What would the computer-generated graphics look like where this meat and this bread is placed on this rock, and then all of a sudden, there is fire that just comes forth from the rock and consumes it all. And this angel of the Lord, he all of a sudden just disappears. Is that what you pictured in your mind? That's the way the Bible describes it. And Gideon sees this take place and he looks around. Where'd that guy go? Where'd all look at that? He's looking around and he says, verse 23, Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. This was what is called in the Old Testament a theophany. There are times when God would appear to men, but he would appear in human form. Even in our series, A Name You Can Trust, we have met a few times when God revealed himself by theophany. This was not just an angelic being. This was not just a human messenger sent from God. This was an appearance of God himself. And that explains why in verse 23, the Lord said unto him, and now God speaks, probably a voice from heaven, and said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. You see, God told the people of Israel, Exodus chapter 23, or Exodus chapter 35, verse 20, that no man shall see God and live. If you saw God in all of his awesome, holy, pure glory, you could not bear it. You would die. Your sin would just be judged immediately. He's so concerned. I met God. And he calls him Lord God. Lord, we've met this God by this name already. He is Adonai. He's the God who is the Lord of everything. But then you'll notice in your Bible, he is also called God. And you'll see this is uppercase G, uppercase O, and uppercase D. In our Bible, you'll find this happen a handful of times. And this is normally translated by the name Jehovah or by the name Lord. And it's translated in our Bible with uppercase L-O-R-D, Lord. Adonai, Jehovah. And he says, God, you're the God who always keeps your promises, Jehovah. But because it would be strange in our Bible to say Lord, Lord, it's Lord God with uppercase, so you know this is Adonai and this is the one true God, Jehovah. So God, you are the God who never changes, always keeps your promises. You are the God who is Jehovah, but now you are my Adonai, my Lord. I've met you. And now he's asking, God, do you really know what you're doing? I've met you, God, and I want to tell you, you know what you're doing. You have to come to that point in your life. You are the God who never changes, who is always faithful. You are Jehovah. But you have become my Adonai, my Lord. And I'll surrender all my questions and doubts. You do know what you're doing. Well, there's one more question. One more question that Gideon asks, and I have asked, and you may ask as well. God, how can I follow you? How can I follow you? You see, Gideon realizes that life is about to change. He realizes that God is calling to something that is far bigger than he could ever imagine. He realizes that there are things already in his life that are changing and that God has things before him that he will not yet understand, but he knows it's going to be challenging and he knows that it's going to be difficult. He realizes that this is going to be way above his capacity. And he reminds us that you and I can follow God because the presence of God is promised. When God first met him in chapter 6, verse 12, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And then God calls him and says, I'm going to call you to overcome the Midianites. Oh, Lord, what? Hey, verse 16, my presence is with thee. Remember what Jesus said, the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see, when God calls and God is bringing you to what he wants you to do, that next step in your life, whatever that means, can I follow God? He hasn't left you alone. His presence is with you. But then there's something else to consider. Because you and I can follow God whatever he leads. Because the peace of God is provided for me. So Gideon commemorates this event and this occasion in his life. And he does so in verse 24. When the Bible tells us that Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord. And called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. So Gideon makes an altar, And this altar, he gave a name. But not only did he name his altar, he tells us about the name of the God who has called him and the name of the God who is dealing and working in his life. And he calls this Jehovah Shalom. Ahead of Gideon, he had so many challenges. He had family challenges. He had challenges from these enemies that were about them, who had now oppressed them. It was innumerable. There was no way. What challenges? He had challenges within his own nation because of people who had feared other gods and turned from the Lord's, even in his own family. Oh, the challenges he had, and the challenges he had in his own faith, in his own doubt. But God wanted him to know at the very beginning of this journey that he would take Gideon on. He wanted him to know that, Gideon, there's something that I am to you that will sustain you through everything that's ahead. I am Jehovah Shalom, the God who is your source of peace. You see, none of us know what's ahead. Boy, I was thinking about 2020. How many of you would have ever guessed when the calendar turned 2020, it's turned into what it would have been? It is. I can't wait for 2020 to be over. Can I get a witness on that? Good night. Wow. But see, God is still a God that gives peace. And I've thought about this so much because in my own heart, I've just wondered. And I have to, in my own growth as a follower of Jesus, I have to come back to this. Who is my source of peace? Really? And for you, for me, for Gideon, if you really want peace, come to Jehovah Shalom. He is the source of peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, the book of Romans says. Jesus is the only way that you can have peace. He is our peace. He sacrificed himself. He rose again from the dead so that we who are enemies can be made friends and reconciled to God. Justified, declared righteous by faith through Christ. Do you know peace with God by trusting Christ alone? The author of Philippians, Paul, the human author, the Holy Spirit of God, the divine author, of course, tells us this, that the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Do you know the peace of God that sees beyond what you could ever see and understand what you could ever... But God supernaturally gives peace. Do you know the peace of God? Hey, some great questions. The answer is Jehovah Shalom. Would you stand with me, please?